the Afternoon with Andy Bolbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
14 minutes after 5 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Counting you down to Cleveland Indians baseball tonight, Matt and I will take you right up to 6:37, and then it's time for Indians warm-up. Tribe trying to make it 19 straight as they begin a new series against the Detroit Tigers down at Progressive Field. First pitch coming your way right after 7 o'clock. Well, we transition from the diamond to the hardwood. Feels like this offseason has been going on since 1945 for the Cleveland Cavaliers. From trades to requests to be traded and everything in between, we bring in Rick Noland, Cavs beat reporter at the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Rick, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Not a problem, and I'm doing fine. It seems like, Andy, there has been no offseason. I just got the email 10 minutes ago that media day is 2 weeks from today, so it's already here, and it doesn't seem really like it ever went away.
Well, no, because of the circus that's gone down ever since the departure of David Griffin, and then, of course, shortly thereafter, it's all the news that came down about Kyrie Irving demanding to be traded. So going back to that press conference where Colby Altman decided it would be hip to be square, and squash all of those hip issues. You know, what are we hearing about Isaiah Thomas? If anything, is there any way in the world
He
might be there before the All-Star break?
Well, the answer to your question in one word is we're hearing nothing. That debacle of a press conference, which let's put it in some context, too, that this trade was originally announced on August 22nd. It got finalized, I believe, on August 31st, and a week after that, we finally have a press conference. Now, the very first question was posed to Isaiah Thomas and about his hip, and before he ever got a chance to answer it, Colby Altman interrupted and just said there was no timeline, blah, blah, blah. The next person got the mic, attempted to ask Isaiah Thomas another question, was again interrupted by Colby Altman, who said, we're not going to make this the Isaiah Thomas hip press conference. If we want to talk about Isaiah Thomas, let's talk about Isaiah the All-Star, Isaiah the 29-point scorer. Totally not a good day at all for Colby Altman in terms of how to handle questions. I mean, he had more than a week from the finalization of the trade and almost 3 weeks from the initial announcement of the trade to prepare some pretty good stock cliche-ridden answers that would have sufficed rather than kind of just kind of jumping the gun and getting irritated right off the bat. We cannot talk about Isaiah Thomas, the All-Star, or Isaiah Thomas, the 29-point scorer, until he's ready to do any type of physical activity. And the only thing I got out of that of note was Altman saying that their plan was a non-surgical plan, which wasn't exactly earth-shattering news since, you know, if he hasn't had surgery by now, he's not going to have it. We're basically 4 months removed from the hip injury, and he's, near as I can tell, he's still not even doing any running, and I'm only piecing that together through the one answer that Kobe really allowed Isaiah to give on the hip, said that he's getting treatment every day and working out in the weight room. Now, I imply that to mean he's lifting weights, but he's not really doing any running, jumping, sprinting, cutting. So when he's going to be back, I have absolutely zero idea. I'm sure the Cavs have a vague idea of what they're hoping for, but I don't think they even know. So it's concerning the longer he misses. But, if he plays in January or even in February, and if he plays without further aggravation and can be anywhere near close to the player that he was last year, then no real problems. But until that scene, The questions are going to continue to be asked by us in the media, and probably not going to be answered in any significant way by Isaiah and or the Cavs front office. So we know really not a whole lot more than we did, you know, prior to the trade even being made. It's just a wait-and-see thing, I guess.
Sure. And, of course, going along with the hip, one of the things I was intrigued was if anyone got any indication that Isaiah Thomas might want to stick around more than 1 year with the Cavs. Have you seen anything that leads to that?
Well, I mean, there's a great unknown there because, you know, how much money is he going to make if he barely plays this year or if he doesn't play at all? Now, on the other extreme, if he plays a decent chunk of games and the Cavs have a great playoff run and he looks great, then, yeah, the guy's getting, you know, he's making $6.6 million this year, shade over. Then he's going to be, you know, in line for, you know, $100 million plus deal. But, again, if that hit is still a concern, then teams may shy away from him. The Cavs may be his best bet going forward. They probably are his best bet regardless of a great positive or a great negative. But, again, it's another unknown that all we can do is speculate, you know, on two extremes to that. And I think, you know, in best case scenario, he plays great. The Cavs make the finals again and win or lose. You would think that you would hope, at least as a Cavs fan, and probably think with some rationale, that, you know, that's enough for LeBron and Isaiah to re-sign here. You know, where else are they going to represent a better opportunity to get past the Warriors than here? But, you know, I don't know, and it's, you know, it's going to be ongoing, not just with the point guard, but, you know, as the season progresses, you're going to hear 1,000 different rumors about what LeBron's going to do, when I honestly don't think LeBron really knows what LeBron's going to do. I still think in my gut that there's a better than 50% chance that he comes back here. Now, I thought that in 2010, too, so take that for what it's worth. But, you know, he's got a kid who's a couple years away from high school. I would think that he wants that kid to go to the same high school in Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary that he attended, keep him where he's comfortable in his environment and not uproot the whole family. But that's just what I think. I don't really know, you know, what LeBron thinks, and I certainly don't know what Isaiah Thomas thinks. I haven't been around him more than that 30 minutes in that alleged press conference to get any type of read on that.
Rick Noland of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette talking Cavs with us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, speaking of rumors and speculation, there's a lot of that going on around right now on that Nets first-round pick that they acquired in that Kyrie Irving trade. I mean, there are so many of these going out there right now, and I guess I just kind of want to gauge what you think is garbage and what you think is actually somewhat legit. I mean, the newest one that I had heard about discussed that first-round pick coupled with Iman Shumpert for the likes of Boogie Cousins. I mean, before we get into the likes or dislikes, you think that's more garbage or you think that's more realistic when you see or you hear about a trade like that?
I don't have a strong opinion on that. Now, if you were talking about Anthony Davis instead of Boogie Cousins, I would say, you know, that's a deal I would make. But Boogie Cousins, I mean, you know, his history is not good. He's obviously a tremendous talent, but you know, does he fit in? Does he disrupt your chemistry and your camaraderie? I don't know. My belief is that pick kind of, it's a nice chip to hold on to, and either use it closer to the trade deadline, once you had a chance to see your team and totally assess it, or maybe even keep it all the way to the draft as a way to tell LeBron and Isaiah, look, you know, we had a really good year, and we have an opportunity to add a pick, and they'll know then what that pick is, and I think it's going to be a top five pick. I would tend to hold on to it, at least, you know, past the midpoint of the season, because I think as a chip, it's almost more valuable than what you might get by using it now, unless you're going to get a guy, you know, who's a clear-cut All-NBA type player like Anthony Davis, or, you know, and that there's no reason to think that you're going to get him. But I would keep it in my hip pocket and see, and maybe, you know, you get even better offers down the line. Boogie Cousins, it looks tremendous if you just look at the points and the rebounds and the talent he has, but if you start weighing all the other factors, then I think there's a reason to be a little leery. If that's the best they can do, then maybe they do it anyway, but I'd wait and see. You know, a lot can happen in the next 4 to 5 to 6 months, and it'd be nice to still have that to make some things happen.
You're exactly right. It's a nice chip to have. There's no question about that. Davis would be a great get also because, if I'm not mistaken, his contract situation is certainly ideal given what he's making and for how many more years he's under contract. I think he's under contract for 3 or 4 more years, and obviously
right.
On the court, he's simply fantastic. So it would cost, I think, a little bit more than that as well. I think you'd agree with that. But you made the point a couple weeks ago, too, to us, Rick, that, look, somebody's got to go on this roster. They've got way too many bodies on the roster at this point. If you're to look at this right now, who do you think the odd man, or I guess in this case, the odd men, will be out in this equation?
Well, first, there's one thing I do need to correct from last year, from the last time we talked, that I had forgotten about. There is now a stipulation where teams can have two-way players between their roster and what is now called the G League, was formerly the D League. So those don't count against your 15, and that's why they just signed John Holland, who played with Canton last year, to one of those two-way contracts. So if you count him, they have 18 players. They can carry 17, with two of those being D League two-way players. Now, the two at the bottom of the roster right now are Kay Felder and Eddie Tavares, and I'm next to positive that they have already signed contracts with the Cavs for this year. I don't know whether you can renegotiate and undo those to make one of them one of your two-way G League players or not. If you can, then it will be one of those two guys, and then my hunch is the other one's going to get released. One of the two of those is going to get released regardless, unless they make a trade where they get back less players than they give up. I mean, if they give up 3 and they get 1 back, then everything's kosher. But if not, then one of those two, I think, is on the way out.
I just saw my tag team partner go from 0 to 60. In case we haven't gone over this before with you, Rick, Matt Douglas, he's the president of the Eddie Tavares fan club. Nobody made a bigger pop at the queue when Eddie had that game when he had about 9 or 10 blocks against the Raptors in the season finale last year. So he was all excited when he heard that Tavares might stick around.
Best 24 minutes of basketball I think I saw when Eddie Tavares was on the court there against Toronto.
Hey, did he leave the floor? He had 6 blocks, by the way, officially, and he only played in the second half. But did he leave the floor on any of those?
I didn't. I didn't think so. I thought he was on the entire end of that game, so I was impressed.
But I agree with you. 7'3" guys are rare. If they have any talent at all, they're probably going to be kept around and considered to have more upside than what would be your second 5'9" point guard, who would be fourth at the point guard position on your depth chart right now. So my hunch is that Eddie would stay around ahead of Kay, but again, I've been wrong on this plenty of times. The Cavs also they kind of like to keep their draft picks for a few years, even though they never pan out, just to almost make it look like it was a worthwhile pick to begin with. Now, they technically didn't pick Kay Felder. They acquired him on draft night, but he has that going for him. If it counts, I don't know that it counts that much. So I'm intrigued by Tavares, too. If I was a betting man, I would bet that he never played significant minutes in the NBA. And if he did, it would be for a real bottom-tier type team that wasn't winning a whole lot, that just had time to let him play through mistakes. But either way, I think both players are a long way from being significant NBA contributors. And Kay Felder has his share of supporters, too, guys.
Sure.
People love that small guy just like they loved Earl Boykins when he was here, who was actually a much better player than Kay Felder is, and his career didn't last real long either after that. So who knows? But, you know, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about what's going to happen on the very bottom of the roster. It's largely inconsequential, sure, especially on a team that expects to reach the finals again.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, media day 2 weeks away. That's just so hard to believe. I mean, like you said, though, at the very beginning, though, Rick, it's hard to believe it's that close, but at the same time, it just feels like this is the offseason, this never going to end.
Yeah, and I think last year, media day might have been like the last day of September or right around there. So it was only a week. It was only a week later. It's just that there was some downtime last year between the finals and the early free agency period in July. Not a lot went on. So from a work standpoint, I was able to at least put it into cruise control for much of the end of July and all of August and a good chunk of September. That has just not happened this season.
No, without question. I mean, boy, it just seems like since the finals ended, it's just been one fire after another. Rick, always a pleasure to have you on the show. We look forward to doing it again soon.
It's all right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All righty. Rick Nolan, Cavs beat reporter for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Time for a break. Matt and I return for the final hour of the show after this on AM 930 WEOL.